Thanks for joining me once again for the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford, and I'm thankful that you've decided to listen to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast today, the family-friendly hunting podcast. And we have a great episode today. I'm excited to be joined by Benny Gregoire of Buzzard Roost Saddles. And I saw them on Instagram a while back, and they just stood out to me. Just really enjoyed talking to Benny and, you know, kind of getting a little update, a little information on the whole saddle thing. That's something that me personally, I was not super familiar with. It's hard to avoid hearing something about them these days, but I just really hadn't got a chance to research and talk to somebody who knew all about it and really dive into the details. So as a maker of saddles, Benny is definitely the man to talk to. So if you're on the market for a saddle, I highly suggest you check out Buzzard Roost. And I know they're on my wish slash maybe list. So as I try to figure out a good mobile system, but they're awesome and look really cool. So definitely cool talking with Benny. I enjoyed talking with him. They're a company based out of Louisiana, so really appreciate him jumping on, but found out we have a little in common as far as where we're from, so that was pretty cool as well. And enjoyed talking with Benny. I think you're going to enjoy hearing from him today. So thanks so much for tuning in and listening. As always, this episode is brought to you by Anabolic Grow, and they have a seed coat and a foliar spray that will help maximize your food plot efforts. And if you're like me, doing a couple little food plots here or there in the backwoods, you want to maximize your effort. You're not able to get out there every day and spray things and check things and water things, but this is going to help maximize your efforts. It's a really cool product. You can hear more about it on episode 27 that I recorded with Todd Karen of Anabolic Grow. And you can also follow along with them on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else. Get the info on them. And you can even see new exciting things they're doing with Buck Ventures. So if you're following Jeff Danker and those guys, you've probably already seen that. So check that out as well. They've got a promo going right now. I think you can save 10%. You can always save 10% using code WannabeHunting10. So we appreciate their support and encourage everybody to give them a try as you're doing food plots if you're still getting them in. And if you've already got them in, you can try that foliar spray. So appreciate them. Once again, thanks for listening. Let's jump into this one with Benny Gregoire of Buzzard Roost Saddles. Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. I'm excited to be joined today by Benny from Buzzard Roost Saddles. And I didn't try your last name. I'm not 100% sure how they say that one over there in Louisiana, but I'm glad you had some time to join me today, man.
Yeah, buddy. You ain't the only one that ever has trouble with that. It's Gregoire. Gregoire.
Gregoire. All right, man. Yes, sir. All right. When I record my intro, I'll have it down.
That's all right.
I appreciate you taking some time, and I'm excited to talk to you. I shot you a message a good while back on Instagram. Really just saw a logo that looked cool. Something kind of different from what I had seen when it came to hunting saddles. I automatically noticed it's a cool logo, and you said something like, "We ain't fancy." I was like, this may be the saddle for me, because fancy is not how I roll. So I appreciate that, but I just wanted to get you on and, you know, talk to you about how you ended up, you know, starting your own saddle company. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. It wasn't something I just decided to do and then started working on it. It was something I just stumbled on by accident, my design and everything. And if you'd have asked me, I'd have told you I never planned on being in business for myself ever. I'm that guy that goes to work, and grinds it out doing the shift work and everything. I work in a chemical plant right now. Mm-hmm. And so we do the shift work. We get up, we're there 4 a.m. and some mornings 4 a.m., some 5, Sometimes I'm late and I'm there for six, but that's for them boys that relieve me and know the truth about me. But yeah, so I just stumbled on it by accident. I was making saddles for myself, and then, kind of my buddies that hunt with me. I'd make one here or there, and I had my mama's sewing machine, and I put one together for a couple guys and a few more guys and a few more guys. And then, man, it was like, this is getting to be too much. And then I stumbled on an idea just in the middle of the night. And I said, hold on, I know who I got to bring this to. And my buddy that I brought it to, he knows who he is. And I brought it to him, and he said, Benny, this is legit. And I said, man, don't play with me, because, I'm not looking to invest a whole bunch of money and go through the patent process and everything if this isn't for real. And he said, man, I have saddles from two other companies, and this beats both of them. And I was like, you got to be kidding, because I've never sat in anybody else's saddle in any other production saddle until I started making them. So I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. I just I knew it was more comfortable than my first one that I was hunting out of, but I didn't know how much more comfortable and how it compared to everybody else's. Right. So when he said that, I said, well, I'll give it a shot. And I did the whole LLC thing and made a few of them. And next thing you know, it's going to more than just my buddies and my family. And I said, well, I got to do it right. And, I did all the testing and everything, had all that taken care of so that I could jump on the open market. And it was slow at first. I mean, I wasn't advertising, because I just wanted to see how it would go. And once it got past my buddies and their buddies and things slowed down, I started putting little small things on Facebook and Instagram and everything. And it kind of picked up from there, and it's really moving right now. I'm getting, a couple orders every day. So, I mean, that's a lot to keep up with. It doesn't sound like a lot, and if you compare it to other saddle companies, it's not a lot, but it's a lot for me right now, especially working at another job.
Yeah, but, exactly. I mean, you got a full-time thing going and, making a few saddles, like you said, a couple orders a day. That's probably pretty steady right there.
It is. We're still made to order. We try to stock up when we can to keep those lead times down. Right now we're advertising 3 to 4 week lead time, but to be honest, I'm sending them out in about 10 days. So doing pretty good right now as far as lead times, but I just want to leave room in there for life to happen. Working another job full time is, sometimes they can ask overtime of me and I have to not be into the saddles. So
yeah,
I just leave a little room for life there.
Yeah, no, that's, I'd say, I send a lot of proposals, at a small electrical contractor, and, we usually try to estimate a little bit high on the money, a little bit high on our lead time. So
yeah. Yep.
I mean, a little bit of cushion. Doesn't hurt.
Under promise, over deliver. That's what I try to do.
That's the key right there. But that's kind of cool how that came about. And some of us, are more or less of a DIYer, but even the first time you built a saddle for yourself, that was probably a pretty big undertaking, to say, I'm going to give this a shot just to make one, much less to make one and give it to somebody or sell it to somebody else.
Yeah, so my very first one I made about 8 years ago, and I still use it to this day. You probably shouldn't do that. You should probably change them out at least every 5 years, per your manufacturer's suggestion. Just because components start to mildew and dry rot and things like that, and so you want to change those out, but. Yeah, my very first one, there was only I believe one, maybe two other saddle companies on the market that I know of. Arrow Hunter and Trophy Line is the two that are coming to mind. And so I just kind of dove off into it by finding a saddle hunter for them, and you know, my hunting needs. I hunt deep in both the swamps and when I hunt high ground, I try and get away from people. And I like to travel light because my style of hunting is very mobile. I may never hunt the same tree twice, and what I'm looking for is the hot sign when I'm doing it. So that hot sign may be one place today, but a different place tomorrow. So I just like to stay mobile, and with a stand on my back, it was a mental game for me, and I probably should do better on cardio and being physically fit, but you know, I think I'm an average guy, and I don't do what I'm supposed to there. And so the mental game of it, packing a stand on my back, is like, man, I'll just hunt this tree. It looks pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
And you're not successful like that. You know, you should hunt a spot knowing that you're going to kill a deer. And if you don't feel that way when you sit the spot, you know, my thing is, why are you sitting there if you don't know you're going to kill one? And I'm a realist. I know that you're not going to kill one every sit, but I believe I am.
Yeah.
So that's my approach to hunting. And when it comes to the saddle, that's why I took it up. It's a mental game. It's a great tool to have. And you know, I pack my deer out also, so it eliminates a stand from extra weight, and I can put a deer in my backpack and you know, walk out even lighter. I don't have to leave my stand, make an extra trip. So that's what I like to do with it.
That's a good point, you know, on just the weight and you know, like you said, I think I'm right there with you. I'm a pretty average guy. Could use a little work on cardio and all that. And, you know, I'm working on it, but I mean, not having that weight is cool. And then, like you said, packing out the deer and whatever, and less trips, less weight. Those are all, you know, somebody who's never touched a saddle in his life. So I like that. And I like what you said about, you know, knowing you're going to kill a deer. You know, any hunting situation, those of us who work jobs like this, you know, it
Maybe.
may be tough sometimes to get the time off during season, depending on how your job is and how your season runs. And you might have to go when you can go. And if you're locked down to where the you know, double ladder stand, then you may be out of luck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, like you said, work schedules is a big thing that a lot of guys have to contend with. And for me, you know, I think I'm pushing around 750 hours of overtime this year. And working in a chemical plant, the winter time is our time for you know, turnarounds, and we, you know, revamp the plant and get it back up running to full capacity. So that means more overtime's coming. And so when I do get time to hunt, I like to make sure that it's productive. And if I'm a sit somewhere, I'm gonna know that I'm gonna kill a deer there. I'm gonna be able to come home. If I take 3 days off, I really truly believe that I can kill a deer in 3 days. And now I'm not a horn hunter, so I'll kill whatever walks. And you know, because my my time is so limited, you know. So I go out there, I kill something, I come back. I don't have to tell the wife that I was away for no reason,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes the machine work around my house. You know, she lets me go with no quarrels. But if I can bring a deer home and say, hey, look, I was successful. Thank you, baby. You know, it makes things work a lot better.
Yep. There's no doubt about that. It certainly helps. And I know we're 20 something days from season here, and I've got like one pack of ground venison in the freezer. So,
I got
you know,
you're in Florida, right?
Yep. I'm up here in Northeast Florida.
Northeast, that close to Jacksonville.
That's it.
Yeah. That's where I was actually born. I was born in Jacksonville.
Really?
And, yeah, my parents were in Bible college over in Jacksonville.
At was it?
I don't know.
No?
Trinity. I believe it was Trinity.
Yeah, that's the big one out here. My parent or my dad went there as well back in the day. So that's crazy.
Okay. Nice. Well, we might have to exchange some names. They might know each other.
They might. We'll see how those years line up. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah. My parents are from Baton Rouge area, Louisiana, and they went over there for Bible college. And I think they raised me there for about 3 years and then moved back. And so I've been here since the age of three and all. But,
gotcha.
Yeah, man, that's cool. So they got some good places around there to hunt?
You know, when I listen to podcasts and I hear people go on and on about millions of acres of public land, I kind of scratch my head because right here in Jacksonville area, it's just not quite like that.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. There's places near here and there's places around the state that are pretty big, but there's a few good spots, and I'm very fortunate to have some friends that have a few hundred acres about an hour south, and they let me hunt down there. And then my wife's grandparents, they only have 6 acres. And they live a lot kind of on the suburbs, but that's where I killed my buck last year, my first buck ever, on just a little 6 acre spot kind of just out of town. And so I'm
that's awesome.
I'm open to anybody who'll give me permission, got a little spot, I'll jump in there. I don't care.
Yeah, them little small acreages, they can sometimes produce. I had I think it was probably about 10 or 12 years ago, I lived in North Louisiana and money was tight. And I had my father-in-law offered me, it wasn't his property, but he knew the guy. And he did the contact work for me, but it was 10 acres. And it was weird. It came to a point to two major highways, and it was weird. They had a thicket right on the end of the point. And man, I went in there and I killed some deer. And for like $75 for the year is all I paid, was $75 for the year.
Wow.
And I killed some deer in that little 10 acres. They would come out of that thick spot, and it was crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's crazy that this property backs up to a creek. And there's like some school board land across the creek, and it's thick and nasty. And there's an old dairy farm, you know, if you kind of follow the creek, and they'll cruise right down through there and come up to the house. And her grandfather, you know, throws some corn out every evening, and they'll swing by pretty well every time. Now the big boys, we only have pictures at night, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I'm kind of like you. I'm not real worried about the headgear at the moment.
Yeah, no. I've killed some with some horns, and they're fun. They're fun, but that's not my target. I tag soup. I just can't do tag soup.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I went about 4 years between the first deer I ever shot, a doe. Got shot last year, and even if you're only going limited times like me, you know, even if you only go
15, 20 times. That seems like a whole bunch of sits when you don't see anything, you don't kill anything.
Yeah. Well, last year was the first year in 20 years that I ate tag soup and I didn't kill anything.
Oh.
But I made a total of 4 hunts, and work just got the best of me.
Yeah, I can see how it could happen. I mean, I could totally see it. This turkey season, I think I went out 6 times, and I killed a turkey. But I mean, those percentages are gonna be tough.
Yeah,
going out like that.
Turkeys, I love hunting turkeys, but I'm no stranger to being bad at turkey hunting, so that one don't hurt my heart as much.
Yeah. What about, I know duck hunting's big over there. Do you hunt ducks?
No. I am not interested in ducks at all. My brother is all in on the ducks. He's got the Pro Drive and the Benelli shotgun and all the fancy waders and duck calls and everything, but man, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that.
I got you, man. I won't ask any more questions about it. I went for the first time last year, and I did kill a duck on one of the last days, but I'm pretty new to that as well. But do you mostly bow hunt or gun hunt or whatever's in season? How do you do that?
So I'm a whatever's in season guy, but I do typically end up bow hunting more just because of the way the public land's set up around here. The gun seasons aren't that long.
Okay.
And most everybody hunts leases around here. And but on the leases, the gun season's long. So I can get into a public land, and I've been to a public land and had 20,000 acres to myself before.
Wow. And
on good public land, because working shift work, I'll travel, I'll go 4 or 5 hours away from the house, and I'll spend, you know, 3 or 4 days during the week while everybody's either working or they go hunt their private property, and they're gun hunting, and I'll bow hunt, and I'll whack them.
That's cool. What like bow are you shooting? You know, broadheads, anything like that?
I am shooting the I'm still shooting a Matthews Helium from back in 2013, and I'm currently shooting Day 6 Evos 125 grain with I've been shooting Eastern Axis. I've been hunting elk for the past couple of years. I've been going making elk hunt, not successful at all. So right. I'd probably do better trying to shoot a duck, but at least that's the target right now. But I swapped arrows this year. I don't know why I've been so drawn to it, but the Victory Rip TKO arrows,
yep,
is what I want to give a good shot to this year. And I'm putting some Zinger Fletchings on there. I met them up in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I said, I'll give them a shot. One, their Fletchings are like 12 ounces for a 3-vein for all 3 Fletchings. And
yep,
kind of increases your FOC a little bit. And I don't dive down that rabbit hole too much, but I do believe there's some science to it and some good thought process there.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I'm shooting now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Rip TKOs, the Zinger Fletchings, Day 6 broadheads, 125 grain.
So cool. Yeah. Those Victory arrows look pretty sweet, so that's cool.
And they do. My cousin was shooting them up in Ohio. We brought our bows and a target, and man, that ceramic coating on the outside of that Rip TKO is,
yep,
sweet. It makes them easier to pull.
Yep.
And and man, they just flew really well. He was very, very consistent.
That's cool. Yeah, I thought about that, you know, seeing, I was like, I bet they're easier to pull out and, you know, pull out of a target. And I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. It's kind of like the smaller diameter, a slicker arrow. I mean, whatever you can do, dude, whatever helps. You know, that's what I said. I'm not a scientist or a doctor or a whatever, but, you know, kind of like you said about, I love researching and watching videos and articles about FOC and stuff like that. But in the end, there's probably balance to all of it, you know, how too heavy, how light is too light, how whatever. But but at the same time, there's some good points. That's kind of cool, though. I wondered if you could do your own ceramic coat, you know, on an arrow that wasn't done like that. I don't
That's
know.
That's interesting.
I don't know if that would work or not.
No idea, but I bet somebody can and somebody will.
Yeah, and somebody's probably got a YouTube video on it already, so there you go.
Yeah.
I want to jump back to saddles. This is all interesting to me. I'm loving it. But, you know, I one thing I've heard people say is it'll kind of pinch their hips.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about that, or, you know, have some kind of design that, like, mitigates or anything?
Yeah. So not in my original saddle. That thing is a hip pinch. Oh, man, it'll hurt. It'll put a hurting on you. But, you know, I did that to get up in the tree, and it worked. It did everything I needed it to do. And I can handle it for a couple hours, and that's generally about as long as I sit is a couple hours. So that took care of that.
Right.
But, you know, that is the number one question when somebody's buying a saddle or they even see it for the first time is, man, is that comfortable? So that's definitely was my target when I was trying to make these saddles. And I think that's what I hit the hardest was the comfort. And so, yeah, I do have a design towards that. And it's kind of I guess the best way to describe it is a hub system where at the bridge connection points to your saddle, I have my top panel and I have my bottom panel, and they're joined by two Amsteel prussics. Mm-hmm. And what that does is allows you to independently adjust your bottom panel without adjusting your top panel. It doesn't move it at all. Whereas, you know, other two panel saddles, if you adjust your prussic along the bridge loops, it either puts more tension on your top panel or more tension on your bottom panel. And, you know, that just didn't make sense to me. And I wanted to be able to independently do that. Right. And even though it doesn't make sense to me, I want to say that those other guys do make really good saddles. They do. So I don't want you to take that from what I'm saying, but that was a target of mine to be different from them and to try and achieve that comfort. So in doing that, it allows you to change the cant of the bottom panel. So depending on your butt size, depending on where you put your tether in the tree and that angle to your body, it can pull in different spots and it can create hot spots on your body. Well, with the ability to cant just your bottom panel, you can change that. And if the top of your bottom panel is hurting you and putting pressure on you, you can move that prussic more towards the front and it'll take that pressure off and it'll distribute it more towards the bottom of the bottom panel. And you can get an even distribution there and find your comfort spot.
Yeah.
And that's the main deal with the comfort in my saddle. And also, the bottom of it is able to kind of flare around your hips because that prussic is where the connection point is. So there's not a whole lot of pressure on that bottom portion of the bottom panel. Mm-hmm. And it's able to flare around that hip bone, and you know, it doesn't pinch you hard there like other saddles do.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm going off. I've seen pictures and, you know, videos of people using them, so I'm kind of following with the terminology and stuff, even though I've never sat in one. But, you know, I get what you're saying. If it can be adjusted independently, you can actually, you know, distribute the weight to where it's not creating a, you know, a hot spot or a spot where there's discomfort. So that's pretty cool. And I know, like you said there, I was impressed, you know, hearing you talk about it on the Between the Tines podcast, that, you know, you're not saying anybody else makes a terrible saddle and everybody else stinks and whatever, but
right,
there are things that you bring to the table that make it unique and comfortable.
So that's and that's it. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be in competition with anybody else. I'm just trying to bring something to the table that I know other guys will like and enjoy. And, you know, saddle hunting is based on a style, and you know, those other saddle companies, they might fit your style better than mine, and that's okay. And I'm happy for you if you find another saddle that fits you and you find comfortable and it fits your style. I really am. I don't want to ever be said that I'm in competition with anybody, because I'm not.
Yeah, I like the way of looking at it, you know, that way. It's like, you know, there's even more than one good product. It's kind of like, you know, bow and broadheads and arrows and stuff, you know. There's a bunch of companies that make all of those, you know. Fantastic. Yeah,
for sure.
He's the one that works for you.
For sure. Yeah, there's not a bow on the market that's not a good bow, you know.
Yep.
If you think about how much it costs to make a bow or costs to make a saddle, it's like, that's a huge investment, and people are paying for it, so it's got to be good.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. Well, that investment, I want to ask you here in a minute how you climb a tree. You know, what your method or your, you know, kind of thing on that.
Okay.
But with that said, these may tie together too. If I go on your website and I'm looking at getting a saddle, what else do I need, you know, beyond what I order from you? So, like, if I order from you, obviously I'm going to need a platform or something. But kind of what else am I looking at getting after ordering whatever, you know, package you offer?
Kind okay.
It might be looking, you know, to get one. You know, it's like, what else, once they get the saddle, was that come with, and what might you need in order to get rolling?
Okay. So, yeah, on my website, you can order just the saddle if you've already got everything you need to do it and you just want to try a different saddle. Order just a saddle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're new to it and you're kind of needing the package as much as you can from one website, I understand that one-stop shop. I'm sorry I can't do the whole one-stop shop just yet, but I can get you pretty close. I do my saddle package is the saddle and a pair of ropes, and that being your tether and your lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those will get you started. So from there, what you would need would be a platform and a means to climb the tree.
Right.
So I do right now, I have some Pursuit platforms. I don't know if you've seen those or done some research in those.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in those Pursuit platforms, and that's what I'm going to run this year. I think that Pursuit platform with a pair of the Bullman Outdoor steps or ring of steps, I just take two of them, mm-hmm. and I put them on the side of the tree next to the Pursuit platform. And to me, that's how I like to sit, almost like you're on a motorcycle with your feet up on the pegs. That's my style of sitting in the tree. That's the most comfortable there is. But then other than a platform, you would need a way to climb the tree, whether that be sticks, whether that be wild edge steps, There's tree hopper bolts. You can drill the tree and put, you know, grade A bolts into the tree and climb up like that. There's the SRT and the DRT guys that use just rope. They throw a throw ball over a limb and they pull their rope around and they just kind of hoist themselves up. That's some interesting stuff there. I just was talking with the New York Saddle Hunter. That's their preferred method. And I got a SRT kit from him, and I'm going to be trying it out maybe a few places this season if I get the chance to go. But so that's kind of, when it comes to saddle hunting, I think climbing a tree is where a lot, you have a lot of variety there. And wild edge steps, to me, I save them for last. Wild edge steps are probably the most versatile way to climb a tree. And for me, if you told me I only had one system that I could use, that would be it. I would use nothing but the wild edge steps. They pack up nice and tight, and I can take them anywhere. They weigh a pound per step, so 10 of them is 10 pounds, and 10 of them I could get 30 foot with 10 of them easy.
Okay.
But usually I pack five, and my first step is about 7 foot, and then I nader swader up to the first step, and then so on after that. I'm 7 foot on each step, so I can get up there pretty good with those.
Okay, cool. No, that, I mean, that's as good a list and explanations as I've ever gotten, I think. But because you know, that is kind of the next question. If no, I mean, they've been using steps for a while on hang-ons and stuff, but you know, big part of the question is how in the world you get up the tree. So that's helpful.
Now, if you go to my YouTube channel, you'll see a different way that I climb the tree. I take this method into the swamps. I use an aider on a tether. So it's like a rope ladder, and I just climb to the top of the rope ladder and do the one sticking method, but without a stick. So that everything fits inside. I have a fanny pack, and everything I need to climb 30 foot is inside of it. And that's just easier to navigate the swamps with for me.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. That's definitely packing light if it fits in a fanny pack.
Yep. For that's sure.
Cool. That's cool. Well, man, I definitely know more about saddles than I did, that's for sure. But you know, I'm not gonna have time to get one down for this season, but I'll definitely be looking in the off season, because I'd want some time to experiment a little bit, maybe before next fall rolls around, and you know, use it as an option, like you said, just something that's so mobile and literally, you know, packing light, and you can go pretty well in any tree you see. I mean, that's,
yeah. So what are you using right now? Are you a lock on or a climber guy?
Well, the places I go almost all have stands.
Okay.
But which is totally cool. I mean, I'm all for, hey, somebody else put it up and they let me use it, and that's fantastic. But what I found, even in some of those situations, is it would be cool to readjust a little bit in some of those spots. Looking at things like lock-ons and saddles, and just give me, even within where their stand may be, getting a better angle on a trail or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I had a spot that my ex-father-in-law, he had a ladder stand, and I wanted so bad to bring my climber in there and set just off to the side, maybe 10, 15 yards, and climb that tree instead of where the ladder stand was. It seemed like the deer would come out and look straight at that ladder stand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I know some of the places I've hunted, it's like they literally walk down the trail looking at that stand, and if you're in it, they take off, and if you're not, they walk onto the feeder or whatever. But it's kind of like they know, you know, especially after so many years.
Yep.
And then even if you trim pretty good, you know, branches and stuff, you know, stand you set 10 years ago or whatever, stuff has changed.
That's right.
So that's awesome. Well, all right, man. Did I miss anything? Anything you want to remind everybody or add in, you know?
No, bud. I think we covered. I think that was pretty good rough all around conversation about saddle hunting.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, for someone like me who, like I said, never touched one, you know, asking some pretty basic stuff, but, you know, covered enough that even somebody who's running one kind of now will have an idea of the difference from, you know, a buzzard roost or whatever.
Yeah. The only thing I did think of something just now. The only thing I want to say is don't overthink saddle hunting. Don't think that you got to go out and buy everything today to do it. You know, use what you already have. If you already have sticks, you know, use those sticks and graduate from there. I mean, I think a lot of guys are gravitating towards like the single stick method, and then you got to go spend $300 to get a single stick and aider and all that, and then rappel system. And you know, you can probably spend, you know, a pretty good penny, you know, probably in $1,000 range the way inflation's going.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have half the stuff, you know, start there and create a system that works for you. Don't just do something because everybody else is doing it.
I can't thank you enough for listening today to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. I know there's many of you who listen each and every week, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for that support. If you haven't got a chance yet, I do appreciate it if you get a chance to leave us a rating and review, particularly on iTunes. But whatever platform you're listening on, if there's an opportunity to leave a rating and review, I would really appreciate it if you are enjoying the podcast. So thank you so much for that. I know several of you already have left reviews, so I appreciate it. And we just appreciate all the support, listening on Instagram, and all the encouraging words, and those who listen each and every week and subscribe. That's super encouraging, and we love it. We're getting ready for deer season here in North Florida. Got a few weeks to go. Got to make it to September 17th, so we're fired up about it, getting things going, checking cameras, checking on a couple little food plots, and exciting stuff. So I know y'all are getting ready as well. I'm seeing pictures of bucks from South Florida. I'm seeing pictures of bucks from South Carolina, Tennessee, and other places I know with that early velvet type stuff popping in. And man, it's exciting to see some bucks on the ground and guys having success. So I love it. And appreciate everybody listening once again. I appreciate Benny for coming on. Enjoyed hearing about Buzzard Roost. Really cool stuff. That's the type of company I want to support. They also have the opportunity to support law enforcement, first responders, military by buying an American flag patch along with your saddle. So just all around good stuff happening there. So if you are looking for a saddle, check them out. And I love it. I love their idea, the scrappy guys, the we ain't fancy guys. And that's pretty cool, especially for saddles. So cool stuff. Thank you to Benny for coming on. Thank you to y'all for listening. As always, want to remind you, honor God, work hard, have fun, and let's keep hunting.